AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Real takes over fake debates.
We are live. SB Talk Sports Show, where real takes over fake debates. It is Monday. Sean, how are you feeling today, brother?
Doing good, SB. How you doing this Monday?
I'm doing pretty good, man. It's doing pretty good. Just got done walking the dog, ready to talk about some sports. We got a lot of things to cover in today's episode. We got a lot of NFL stuff. It's getting close to that time of the season. Where's my phone? I hear it beeping my phone. Can you mute that? But yes, it's getting close to the NFL season. We got some moves being made. Sean is almost getting that time to, as me and Sean, NFL picks of the week, be able to join that. We're going to give you, well, I'm going to probably give you parlays a little bit. I'm kind of on the best side. Sean, that's not what Sean do, but we go through, give our picks of the week during the season. I think we, who won last year?
You won last year.
Y'all won last year? Okay. You know, I knew that. I just wanted to hear you say that. You know what I'm saying? But I just wanted to hear you say that. But also, we got to do our GOAT quarterback season two. But I ran into Lamont's FYF Live. He went live on TikTok. And it was a conversation. They was talking about like LeBron's Jordan fans' obsession with LeBron. But it got deep into the live where we got to the point of talking stats and accolades, stats versus accolades, which has more value. And also, does being a total leader in a stat category makes you the greatest in that category, negative or bad, you know, because it stemmed from obviously around the points, but also talking about even it could be a negative stat, like with the turnovers. So does that make LeBron the worst decision maker with the basketball in his hand? It's a lot of things that go. So, but we got a couple NFL stories that went down first. We're going to get into that. Then we're going to get into the stats versus accolade debate. Also, we got to talk about Shiloh getting cut and Shedeur Sanders. Is he getting a fair shake? We definitely got to talk about that. But salute to everybody in the chat. Salute Cottage in the chat. Salute Christian in the chat. Salute Tiff in the chat with the Ravens. Salute Goat James. Salute Goat James Kingdom in the chat. Salute that other Goat James in the chat. Let's get into it. Let's go ahead and get it started, Sean. Bengals report that they gave Trey Henderson $14 million this year.
$14 million more.
More this year, but they didn't want to extend him.
Right.
Sean, I'm confused. Because after this year, he's going to be an unrestricted free agent. I don't think they can franchise tag him again.
Well, he wasn't franchise tag. He only had 1 year left on his deal. He wanted an extension. In keeping in line with what the top pass rushers are making now on new deals.
So, for first thing, what's your reaction to this? And my main question is, do you think they're going to just let him be an unrestricted free agent? I doubt.
Well, I mean, if you just look at what the Bengals have done the last, you know, few years in the draft, they've drafted two defensive ends, Shamar Stewart this past draft and Miles Murphy a couple drafts ago. So they're already telling you they were planning to get younger on the defensive side of the ball. But the fact is, Trey Hendrickson, who's led the league in sacks, who had, I believe, half of their sacks last season, over half of their sacks last season.
All their sacks last season.
Yeah, I mean, if you really want to, you know, keep it a
look
buck.
At it, keep it a buck.
But the fact is that, you know, he was underpaid comparative to what guys on the market were getting in terms of new deals. So when, you know, Myles Garrett got a new deal and you saw Max Crosby get a new deal, and you're going to see Aiden Hutchinson get a new deal here. TJ Watt got a new deal. Eventually, Micah Parsons will get a new deal. Maybe it'll happen before, you hopefully know, the year of the rat. But the point is, you know, we've seen these pass rushers get paid, and Trey Hendrickson, deservedly so, in the last year of his deal, wanted more money. And the Bengals, you know, stepped up and paid him. Honestly, I don't see it going beyond this year for him there.
I don't think so.
Primarily because, again, what we mentioned earlier, they've spent draft capital, first-round picks on defensive ends that will eventually hopefully take over, that are younger and just, for all intents and purposes, cheaper and will be cheaper, especially given what they've spent to retain
on the opposite side of the ball.
On the opposite side of the ball. So, but this makes sense. You know, they needed to take care of him. This is a Band-Aid. It's not a long-term solution. It's a Band-Aid for this season. And then, you know, after the season's done, you know, perhaps he'll test the market, or, you know, maybe they'll say, hey, we just can't lose you, and we'll figure out a way to extend you longer term so you can finish your career as a Bengal.
For me, when I think that, I was, like you said, I instantly thought, like, this is just a Band-Aid over a wound. And I think the Bengals are setting themselves up to lose Trey Hendrickson for nothing. I get it. You put him on the market. You didn't get nothing that you thought was of value for him. But that's what happens when you publicly make it known that you don't value an asset. You can't put nothing on it. I can't put nothing on the market and say, hey, give me top dollar for it. But when you see me with this said product, and I'm treating the product like ish. So I figured that if anybody else who's a buyer going to be like, well, you don't care too much about it. Why would I overpay for anything when I know you don't care about said product? Now, when you talk about a player, not just saying I'm like an object, but now we're talking about a player situation. If I'm another owner or a executive and I see that you're in a tough situation with a player where you can't pay him, or not can't pay him, that you don't want to pay him, and I know that he wants to leave, and pretty much he's in a situation now where you're going to lose him for nothing, I'm going to lowball you in a negotiation room because I see everything that's going on. The Bengals have not did a good job at keeping this situation under wraps, and the drama was everywhere. So, like, if any other team, what did they expect they was going to get for Trey Hendrickson? No matter, he's still valuable for the player he is, even at his age. But I'm not going to overpay for a person that I know you guys don't want. And do I see him leaving out of unrestricted free agency? Possibly. Would I see the Bengals just a franchise tagging to be petty? Maybe. I think only way I see them franchise tagging him if the two rookie ends just doesn't look good. But Shamar Stewart looks like he's got some promise to him. But that's the only way I see them doing that, Sean. And anything else wise, it's, you know, the Bengals very cheap with their ownership. But my question is this, though. Okay. Trey Hendrickson is an unrestricted free agent. In football, it's easy to say, like, who's the team with money. But in football, organizations move contracts around all the time. So what team should be trying to get him in free agency? Money or no money? Because you can move money around. At least give me two or three teams that you think.
I think it's really hard to say right now, honestly, because I think it's going to depend on, you know, which teams have invested in that position, not just in – free agency and retaining their own free agents, but also more recently in the draft. If you've drafted a young defensive end and you want that defensive end to get, you know, plenty of snaps, you don't want to bring in someone who's going to take away, you know, time for that, you know, young player to develop on the field. So from my perspective, it's really hard to say right now today. Obviously, at the end of the season, you're going to look at the teams with low sack numbers or teams that struggle getting after the quarterback this season, and you'll say, okay, those will be natural spots for Trey Hendrickson. But also, again, because of his age, because now he's over 30, he's not a long-term solution there. He could still be very productive, but he's not a long-term solution there. And are you going to pony up the amount of money it takes to sign a Trey Hendrickson? You know, so I think it's really hard to say. We need to wait till the end of the season to kind of make that determination.
Well, I say right now, look, I've been calling the Lions. The Lions make that move, make it happen. The Lions need to go ahead and make that happen. Josh Allen at the moment. Josh Allen. You said who's better? Josh Allen at the moment. Next up, Scary Terry finally gets his deal done. A lot of people were complaining that you don't want to mess up the chemistry of this team. They just had a great spark last year. It's an NFL player who said he didn't want a bandwagon on them too. But Scary Terry agrees to a 3-year extension worth of $96 million. What is your reaction to this, Sean, of the Commanders getting this deal done?
They had no choice. I mean, if you look at watch the Commanders last season with Jaden Daniels, the guy he was looking for more than anybody was Terry McLaurin. So it only made sense that they take care of him. And also, if you really think about it, if we're being honest, the best time to pay Terry McLaurin is right now because you have Jaden Daniels on a rookie deal for the next, 3 to 4 years. You know, even though you'll probably extend him, they will extend him after his third year. But so now is the time to go ahead and pay him, take care of him, and, make sure that, your young quarterback is happy. You know, that Washington offense, I think, is going to be very dependent on Jaden Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
The running game is going to look very different this year than it did last year because, obviously, they've traded Brian Robinson Jr. and they've got some young running backs.
Yeah.
They're going to be very dependent on Scary Terry this season. So, to keep their offense afloat, along with Jaden Daniels. So they had to do this. They needed to do this. It made sense. They were never going to trade him, because
better again, not.
Look at the rest of their receiving room. No slight to Deebo Samuel, but he's not Terry McLaurin. So they need.
Especially not the shape he in right now. Mm-mm.
No. But I mean, he's kind of always that. But that's neither here nor there.
So Mark said I'm going to the Monday Night Lions game in Baltimore. So I mean, you must be a Lions fan because you said Lions game. So you must got the Lions winning. You said Scary. Who's Scary Terry? September 22nd. He said, wait, it's two Scary Terrys. Only Scary Terry I know that's like elite is Terry McLaurin. If you're talking about Terry Rozier, I don't know about that. He got that name in one playoff run with the Boston Celtics. Stop.
Please don't talk about Terry Rozier.
Oh, yeah, that's your guy. With you and Johnny Heat. Johnny a Heat fan too. He watching you and y'all Terry Rozier crazy.
Great expiring contract.
Great expiring. And LeBron, we trust. Yeah, we're going to definitely talk about LeBron in a second. RJD Parker said, yo, salute. He said Deebo a bit injury prone right now because he out of shape. He's big. But my reaction to this, though, I had to 100% agree with you. You got to get the deal done. At the end of the day, this is the top receiver. And also, people talk about organizational loyalty. This man, Scary Terry, stayed on the Commanders. They was trash. Like legitly trash. He'd had multiple quarterbacks. I haven't heard Scary Terry come out complain about nothing about the Commanders. He stayed there, stayed loyal. Now you finally get good. You didn't want to pay your star receiver. Are you crazy? Pay the guy. Because organizations always cry about people not being loyal. Scary Terry was definitely loyal. So pay him for his loyalty and pay him because he's the top receiver on your team. And Jaden Daniels is on a rookie contract. You just made the NFC championship game. Coming off the second pick of the draft, when you get a pick that high, 9 times out of 10, your team is trash. We haven't seen a turnaround like this instantly since, like, Cam Newton of a quarterback to turn the organization around. If you make it that far and you see he just did that. You're supposed to load the deck with this team. You're supposed to get this man everything he needs because he's on a rookie deal. You're supposed to go all in for these next couple of years. And then once he get on his elite contract, then you got to give and take whatever you can get. But well-deserved for Scary Terry. Next up, Texas Joe Mixon will miss the first four games of the season due to a foot injury. Well, thank God they signed Nick Chubb because, man, look, that would have been tough. But what's your reaction to Joe Mixon being out?
I mean, it certainly explains the Nick Chubb signing, obviously, even more. They have Damian Pierce, who, you know, started out really well. He's not been able to stay healthy. But, you know, so they got some decent depth. But, you know, Joe Mixon was really good for the Texans last year, even with some of the offensive line issues. My expectation is, you know, obviously four games, he'll miss the first month of the season. He'll be back at some point, mix back into the rotation. But, you know, the Texans have, you know, some concerns. And I think the biggest concern about the Texans is that offensive line and what they're going to look like this year. You know, Joe Mixon, I think, has shown he can make a decent offensive line look better. So hopefully he'll come back healthy and do just that.
Yeah, I think when you add the multiple running back sets that the NFL today's run, you always be good. But Joe Mixon.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Has lost a step since his Bengal days, but he's still a value back in his league. And you got to give CJ Stroud as much help to make his job as easy as possible. I think they lost a couple guys on their line. I think because they just lost Laramie Tunsil and
they basically got a brand new offense.
Brand new line. Yeah, Kelvin said, yeah. So now you don't know how the line gonna really do next season. So the best thing that you can do to help your quarterback is have a great run game. So getting Joe Mixon back as soon as possible would be great for CJ Stroud.
Yeah, that's it. I think it's probably a good idea for the Texans to consider drafting a running back in this upcoming draft. You know, because
possibly
Joe Mixon's not getting any younger. Nick Chubb, you know, we're not sure what Nick Chubb is at this point. That they need to draft a running back probably in the first two rounds of next year's draft.
Or offensive lineman. Next up, Sean, before we get into this stats versus accolade topic. Jacoby Myers has requested a trade from the Raiders. Yes, me as a Charger fan. Turmoil. Yeah. Okay, Sean, what's your reaction to this? Because I'm obviously have any bad news with the Raiders, I'm happy.
Well, certainly they, you know, he wants a new contract. He's been, you know, one of their more steady receivers the last, you know, 3 years since he got there in 2003. So, you know, I think it makes sense for them to, you know, to try to take care of him. Again, I think the Raiders can be a sneaky team, you know, in the AFC West, but in the AFC in general, just because of obviously, you know, now having Geno Smith, who, you know, should steady the quarterback position, and Pete Carroll now as their head coach. But I think Jacoby Myers is a big part of that. Quietly, they just signed Amari Cooper to a 1-year deal. So he's back where he was drafted originally, albeit in Oakland at the time. So, you know, I think, you know, maybe they'll figure something out for this season with Jacoby Myers. He's only 28 years old. He's very productive. You know, I think it makes sense to take care of him. But they've already said they're not going to trade him. So I think that just means they got to figure out something before the season starts.
Yeah, I think Jacoby Myers is definitely solid for the Reds. I'm not going to hate on him too much. But I don't know what type of amount of money that he might be looking for in his contract, because I know he's got a deal worth $10 million as a base salary. So yes. I wonder what range is that he's looking for. I wouldn't. Jacoby Myers for the Raiders, because of how trash the Raiders are, he could be a number one But I think realistically on any other team with like a legit receiver, he'd probably be a good number two. So I'll probably look in that price range of like the high. Well, I can't say high number twos because T Higgins just got paid the bag. Right. I'll probably say, but he ain't T Higgins, but I'd say he like a notch or two under that. So I'll probably like look at what T Higgins got paid maybe and probably drop a couple millions down from that. Or if I think Jacoby Myers should just ball out, bet on himself, but have a ball out season and then go get the bet.
Well, I'm going to say a name, and I want this name I want you to watch out for this season. Deontay Thornton, receiver okay. they got from Tennessee. He can be like that. So, you know, especially maybe. Down the field. So, you know, just watch maybe out for him.
Maybe that's why they didn't pay him. So, we'll see. Sean, so let's get into this, right? So, like I said, I was on Lamont's live and Johnny's live on TikTok. They went live on TikTok. The main topic was just like talking about like Jordan, LeBron, obviously just something to talk about that. But during the point of the live, it got to talking about stats. You know how the same typical go to big company, but it got to the point of talking about stats, accolades. Oh, this player has this, this player has that. This negative, this negative, that. But I really wanted to know, what does to you or anybody else in the chat, what has more values? Because to me, I think like everything has value, but it's substance to each category. Like LeBron got the most points all time. But if you ask me, I might not think he's the greatest scorer of all time. But also, LeBron has the most turnovers all time, but I think he's the greatest decision maker with the basketball player I had to pick. And you could do that. Like Steph Curry got the most threes, but I don't believe that him having the most threes, just the stats, I have 3 points may make him the greatest shooter of all time as the body of work. Yeah. Also, when it comes to accolades, Jordan has like what a lot of MVPs or the scoring titles. 10 scoring titles. I don't necessarily think Jordan the greatest scorer all time just because he got 10 scoring titles, but he has shown a body of work that he has did something nice. And also, Jordan got defensive player of the year. I don't really think that he was the best defender and a guard during that time either. So what do you look at when it comes to stats versus accolades? Which has more value if you had to pick? If not, pick one.
Can I say this really quick, and this is not to be crass. To me, the stats versus accolades argument is like asking a guy, you a breast man or a butt man?
Like, not wrong either one. Well, it depends.
Right.
There you go. You're right. Right. It depends.
Right. The proportion is really what that's how I view stats versus accolades. It's often the proportion. So ultimately, what it comes down to, SB, for me, is a lot of times we look at stats, we look at total numbers, right? We look at total numbers. So I'll use John Stockton as an example because John Stockton is the all-time leader in assists.
Yes.
It's highly likely nobody's ever going to catch John Stockton all-time in assists just by virtue of how.
Nobody's going to catch Kareem, but.
Well, no. What I'm saying is just by virtue of how the game is played today.
Okay.
Right. So, you know, it's not a lot of teams coming down just running 1-4 sets, you know, entire game, right? And also, again, the longevity, you talk about that. You talk about the fact John Stockton, you know, didn't miss a lot of games. So he has the total assist number. But per game, Magic Johnson has the per game assist numbers for a career. And we all know Magic Johnson's career got cut short. You know, in 1991, and you know he was the all-time assist leader when he had to unexpectedly retire. So, I think when we talk about stats, we have to talk about them in the context of how many games, how much time, how long, right? I'll use football as an example. O.J. Simpson had 2,003 yards rushing in 14 games. We now play a 17-game NFL schedule, and it eventually may go to 18-game regular season schedule. It's not to take anything away from the 2,000-yard season, but the context is OJ Simpson did it in 14 games. Everyone else has had to do it in 16 or 17 mm-hmm. games. So does that make their, I mean, although Eric Dickerson has the single season rushing record 2105, mm-hmm. it took 16 games for him to do that. That's not a slight to Eric Dickerson, who I know we'll be talking about here in a moment. Mm-hmm. But again, the context is it took two more games for him to get 102 more yards than OJ Simpson. Mm-hmm. So I think those are the things that we have to talk about when we talk about just stats. The accolades, again, the accolades are different because, again, we know at a certain point, players voted for the accolades. Now we know it's media. Largely media-driven, you know. So I don't want to say one has one more value than the other. I think they both have to be looked at in the context of the age that they're done, and the age in which we play, and the age in which who's, you know, a part of saying, you know, who's a part of voting for the MVP, who's a part of voting for Defensive Player of the Year, you know, things of that nature.
There's some bad votes a couple times.
I'm not going to say bad votes. I think there needs to, when you vote, there needs to be at least, and you, especially if you share your vote, there needs to be some sharing of your methodology and how did you get to this point of this, where you went with this particular vote. And I'm going to use an example, the Defensive Player of the Year award that LeBron didn't win, that Mark Gasol won. The reason why Mark Gasol likely won the award was because Memphis finished better in some team defensive metrics that some voters look at and they consider a part of the DPOY conversation. And when you look at the metrics, when Mark Gasol was on the floor versus off the floor, that may have factored into why the award ultimately went to Mark Gasol. So that's, again, I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I'm just saying at least explain the methodology. I may not agree, but I will at least understand that there needs to be, you know, some level of, hey, we are, you know, this is what we came to and here's why we came to this point. And that's all. Now, the tape is the tape. So for me, stats versus accolades is great. And I think that's a good conversation. The third piece of it is the tape. And that's the part that I think we don't talk about enough, because I don't know if the average person knows how to talk about the tape. What's on film? What are you seeing? Why is that happening on film?
They can't, and that's why more narratives is talked about more than action of the game. That's why more highlights get watched than the actual game, because people don't want to sit and watch a game. You know, people might want to play solitaire during the game, but
yes, especially those, as Denzel Washington calls them, opinionaires.
Opinionaires, that's correct. Or, you know, you never know that Barry Sanders is not related to. You know, hey, look, man, that's all I'm saying. One of my first rules that I learned, you better know more than the average fan if you're going to be talking about this. That's one of the first rules that I learned. You better be knowing more than a dude at the bar, because if you can't know the basics, they will call you out for it. But back on point of the topic, because, like, perfect example of you, I like how you brought up OJ and Eric Dickerson situation. Look at Emmitt Smith. Emmitt Smith is the leader of rushing yards, leader in rushing touchdowns, because I believe he still is, rushing touchdowns too. But nobody wouldn't, in their right mind, say Emmitt is the best running back. A blessed day from Dallas. But let's be realistically speaking, there's a lot of guys that you'll put over him. As I said, so when you just go for the total, like you said, you got to count the substance of it. And then also when it comes to the accolades, too, with the media voting and it changing it, I think they do have to change something when who's voting. Because bring up another situation, which is crazy, it happened to LeBron. But like the Marc Gasol one, if people have been doing more research on it, some stats that defensively Marc Gasol has like over LeBron, which you could add, but still didn't make, if that was the case, it still doesn't make no sense that Marc Gasol should have been second team. You should have just made him first if that was the case. But I understand with the position thing, whatever, cool during that time. But another LeBron situation where he could have won unanimous MVP, and that one voter voted for first place vote for Carmelo and ruined that for LeBron, and he was a New York writer.
I do think you, if you're gonna have a media vote, they got to stop doing the location people have a vote, because at the end of the day, if you're a reporter in a certain location and you're seeing this team all the time and you're reporting on this team all the time, you go kind of be biased. It's human nature to be kind of biased. And I think because that devalues the accolades a little bit too to me when it comes to like the voting. Because if you really want to talk about what MVPs and accolades had a lot of value when it comes to the voting aspect, I give Bill Russell and them era more credit because the players voted on it. So you got somebody who you going against, rivaling against, probably don't like, you know, that era was different. But to respectfully vote for you would be like, no, nah, I'm not going to lie, he is the most valuable player in the league. So that makes it. Aristide, hold on before you go. Yeah. Aristide, no voting method is going to be perfect. How can you calculate the person getting the accolade then if you're not voting?
The problem, the issue is for me, and is who's That's doing true. The voting? Mostly sports writers and sports commentators are doing the voting, who were either previously sports writers or may still be.
Yeah.
If you vote for somebody, I'd like just at least a paragraph of why this is your choice.
Mm-hmm.
At least explain it. Because, again, I understand ballots are one thing. And, again, you know, ballots, blah, blah, blah. You know, if you ask me why I vote for somebody, I can tell you exactly why I voted for them. I'm putting, you know, and for me, and I'm just saying for me, I'm a big fan of just provide your methodology. How did you get to this point, to this place, right, to come up with this is your person? MVP is always going to be interesting because for the most part, say for a few years here and there, there's always three or four guys who have legitimate MVP arguments.
Yeah.
And so if you vote for one of those two or three guys, I generally don't have an issue for you. Right. If you vote for someone who largely wasn't in the MVP conversation, that's where I'm like, okay, what did you come up with? How did you come up with this particular methodology for?
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
For why you voted for the person. If, as much as you can take some of the subjectivity out of it, that's what I would prefer. But I know that'll never happen. We'll be doing this every single year until probably the end of time when it comes to a lot of these awards, particularly if the media are the primary ones who are ultimately making the decisions.
Yeah, and then I just think we should put people like, I'm glad people start saying they vote, like saying who they vote for, or we start seeing people vote, because I think people need to be held accountable when they do certain things that's out of line or clearly look biased towards their vote. So I'm definitely with that. But the main thing that we, another thing that we came to like an argument about is the total of a stat, right? And also that asks, I just think, like I said before, if I didn't answer this question, stats versus accolade, like I said, it ain't apple. I think everything has substance, you got to explain. But Sean, people want to talk about when it just comes to stats. Obviously, this came more of a thing with the Jordan versus LeBron thing, which I blame Jordan versus LeBron when it comes to how everybody look at sports nowadays anyway, because people use whatever way, whoever you got, Jordan or LeBron, you use that methodology and think everything else for every sport. And it has been very damaging to sports, to me, in my opinion. It might look good on the TikTok algorithm or your YouTube short views and all that, but in the long term, it's not doing good for the sports. But does
total stats make you the greatest, whatever any category. So I looked up like who's the total leader in a certain stat category, and we can go through the list after your opinion, after you answer the question. I want your opinion on it. Do you think having the most in the stat category, having the total, does that make you the greatest in that category?
No.
Okay. Why? If anybody will explain.
Because again, total stats are often an indicator of longevity. It's not just an indicator of potential greatness. Mm-hmm. Somebody can do something for a very long time. It does not mean that they are the best at it. There have been guys who have been married 50 years are terrible husbands. They just mm-hmm. no reason why they married 50 years because their wife ain't left them. So I mean, you know, so
on a podcast Paul Pierce got a podcast. All those like the Truth at Night. Did you see that clip? Well, he's talking about his homie sad chick kept his marriage alive or something like that. So you need to
I'm not getting into that. So I'm just saying, I think the idea is obviously the longer you do something, more likely it is you're going to rack up certain stats. numbers.
Positive or negative.
Yeah. So yeah.
For me, I definitely do not agree that total stats make you the greatest in a certain category. To a certain extent, I think when we talk about stats versus accolade, I think the fan base, which is LeBron and Jordan who started all this, their fan bases overvalue whatever their side leans towards more. That's it. And I think like LeBron total stats, they value total stats. But when if I ask them, is John Stockton the best passer? Well, none of them say that. Would nobody agree with that? Is John Stockton the best defender? Well, nobody, because he got steals. No, it don't ever work like that. But when you do, like you said, no, better way to say it is, you said this, when it comes to OJ. OJ had the record in 14 games. What has changed since the future? More games has been added. The style of play has been different. You can't hit players a certain way. You can't run. You can't play basketball a certain way. And that, what does happen? Certain stats might go up because the style of play changed, or the rule changes, or the more games has been added, or how things are being set up. So people don't consider that. People just take the basic of and be like, Will Chamberlain leads the league in rebounds. He's the greatest rebounder. Or Tom Brady lead the league in passing yard. He's the greatest passer of all time. And I just think, like, when you look at totals, it's different. He said, Aaron Adams said, football is different, bro. How is football different? You guys explain it to me. A lot of things can happen for football. I mean, stats to stats. Basketball has more control. And again,
it's not comparing just sports, the numbers in sports. Whether it's football, basketball, baseball, hockey, golf, there's numbers. The issue is, and the total conversation is around, the longer you play a particular sport, regardless of the sport, the more mm-hmm. likely it is you're going to put up certain numbers. Mm-hmm. So, and again, when people will say total numbers, they will say, oh, that person is the best because of the total numbers. And that's not really it. The context is style of play, what certain attributes or certain mm-hmm. things that were in the game that may not be in the game now. There was no three-point shot in the NBA before 1979.
Yep. So how many more points people would have had if they had a three-point shot back then? You never know.
Right. So that's all. So that's what we're saying. We're just saying, regardless of the sports, the total numbers are really what it's about.
But Sean just hit it right on the head, right? When you said it's kind of, we can't compare it to the sports. No, it's about the total numbers. Because a lot of things change in sports and it adds a different dynamic. Because perfect example, Tom Brady got 89,000 yards. They're going to add two more games. And if we are all smart, if Patrick Mahomes, God forbid, have a gruesome injury, he play how long we think he's going to play. With two more extra games on season, you think he's not going to break that record. It's not even about comparing two different sports. It's just the point of that you're going to rack up total stats. But the main question is, does the total stats make you the greatest in the category? I say no. And we can all go down the list. Me and Sean will go down the list. I got the stats in different sports, so we just going to ask. Yes and no. We don't got to go too much into who we else think he is. Unless y'all want to, we can. But let's get into it. So,
NBA first. All-time point leader LeBron James. Is LeBron James the greatest scorer in your opinion? Because I got to make sure you say in our opinion, you know, because we you know.
No, I wouldn't say he is, but I think he's certainly in the conversation. But yeah, I would say he's definitive.
No, I wouldn't say he's definitive the greatest scorer, but from how much he is lacking on offensive skill set for him to score that, but you gotta put him in the conversation. He's top 10 for sure. All right, assist leader, John Stockton. Would you consider him the greatest passer?
No.
I got Jason Kidd and Chris Paul above him too. And I got LeBron James over here. I said I wasn't going to say it, but that was just – that's the one I'm always going to. Is Will Chamberlain the greatest rebounder of all time? Man, yeah, he might.
I think it's him and Bill Russell, obviously, when you talk about those two, because I know those two are the top two ever.
Yeah, what about Robin? Not in that conversation, though.
I think Rodman would be in the conversation, but Rodman, again, different conversation because Rodman is only 6'6", 6'7", mm-hmm. where you're talking about, you know, 6'10", Bill Russell, and, you know, 7'1", Wilt Chamberlain. So, yeah, it's Rodman's a different conversation, but, you know, yeah, I mean, it's – I think when you talk about the greatest rebounders of all time, I think you don't have that conversation and Wilt is not in that conversation.
Okay, last NBA one, because we got some other ones too to go through. Is Hakeem, because forget skills, I'm not going to keep messing with John Stockton. Is Hakeem Olajuwon the greatest shot blocker of all time?
I don't know, because they didn't track blocks for a long time. Right. So, again, if you go back, you know, Bill Russell had a lot of block shots.
Bill Russell had a lot of block shots,
you know. So, it's, I think, again, there's if you're having a conversation about the best shot blockers ever, Hakeem Olajuwon's in that conversation, but I can't say definitively he is because for a long time they didn't track him blocks. So, yeah.
Okay. Right, let's throw a WNBA one in here. Diana Taurasi is the all-time points leader in WNBA. Is she the greatest women scorer of all time?
She's in the conversation.
Man, look, it's by your boy. I'm not doing that.
She's in the conversation. No. I mean, and again,
she in the conversation, though. No,
I think she's in the conversation again. I think you talk about Cynthia Cooper, you talk about Maya Moore, you talk about Lisa Leslie. You talk about, I mean, it was some great all time scores in the WNBA. So, you know, but again, you know, she's in the conversation. I would never disrespect Donna Taurasi, she's in the conversation.
And if you see how this is going, right, we giving y'all the total leaders. And if it's a conversation that tells you right there, just having the totals does not make you the greatest at some. It does not. Or even if you had the most turnovers, it does not make you the worst. Interceptions, maybe it depends. I don't know. That football a little different. Football a little different on interceptions. Okay, run through football real quick. Is Jerry Rice the greatest non-quarterback offensive player, because he leads the league in TDs, touchdown, and I believe he's still even receiving yards.
He does, and receptions. Yes. I want to say yes, but I think there's two other guys that I would put in that conversation.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's Tom Brady. He leads the league in passing touchdowns and passing yards. Is Tom Brady the greatest quarterback because of the stats he got all time?
He's in the conversation.
I mean, not for you. You call him the GOAT.
What I'm saying, I call him the GOAT because he is the greatest winner of all time at the position. Yeah. But when I talk about the greatest quarterbacks, I don't think it's one definitive greatest quarterback of all time. I think there's a couple guys in the conversation.
Yeah. Is Emmitt Smith the greatest running back of all time? He leads the rushing and rushing today. I don't believe he's in the conversation. I'm going to be real with you. That's one player I'll say he's not in the conversation. But he's not. I'm not taking away from his greatness. I just don't think there's too many other guys you can put over him. And let's be real. You got LT. You got Walter Payton. You got Adrian Peterson. You got Marshall Faulk. You got Eric Dickerson. You got O.J. Simpson. As much as I don't like him.
Barry Sanders.
Jim Brown. I'm on eight.
Yeah. And again, you know,
it's more coming too.
And I will say this, if you ask any longtime Cowboy fan, many might say Tony Dorsett was better than Emmitt Smith.
I'm not mad at people.
And I'm just talking about those that saw Tony Dorsett and obviously saw Emmitt Smith after Tony Dorsett. And it's not to slight Emmitt Smith. It's just, and didn't even mention Earl Campbell. You know, so there's some guys that, you know, are definitely in that conversation. And again, this is not a slight to Emmitt Smith. I don't want you to think nobody's slighting Emmitt Smith. I think there's just a lot of factors when you talk about the best running backs of all time. Mm-hmm. And to the point of this particular topic, stats will not tell you everything.
Yep. And I think respectfully, because of his total stat numbers, is the only reason why Emmitt Smith is a top 10 conversation. I feel like if he wasn't the number one rusher in yards and TDs, people wouldn't put him in that conversation. All right, let's go a little baseball, and then we're going to do hockey, and we're going to move on. Is Barry Bonds the greatest home run hitter of all time? He might. I think this next two sports, it might be.
Yeah, I mean, it's the asterisk that is there for different reasons, but
you still got to hit that ball though. I don't care how strong you is.
No, I mean it's and you ask most pitchers, and they will tell you for many that faced him, he's the greatest hitter they've ever seen, not just home run hitter. So I think it's
it's tough. All right, hockey. We can just go ahead. Wayne Gretzky, the all-time point leader, all-time goal leader, all-time assist leader. Jesus Christ, is Wayne Gretzky the GOAT?
I think he's universally recognized in hockey as the GOAT. Yeah. But again, I think there's guys that have an argument. I think Ovechkin has an argument. I think Gordie Howe. Yeah, has I think Mario Lemieux has an. I think there are Mark Messi. I think there are guys who have Rocky Richard. There are guys who have arguments in hockey. I just think when you talk about the standard in hockey, the man's nickname is the Great One for a reason. He was that great.
For the longest, people wasn't arguing against Wayne Gretzky. I think he was like the only sport that we seen that like people just accepted him as a GOAT. Nobody really did debate it.
Right.
Yeah, so I think it's still like that a little bit, but like you said, people was kind of looking at it, but nobody will question Wayne Gretzky. But let us know what you guys think about the total stat conversation. Does total stats make you the greatest all time? Oh, wait a minute, Sean. Whoa. Oh, man, I don't got it in this new stream yard, but we have breaking news that we have to talk about. I don't have my breaking news sound in there, Sean, so bear with me. Breaking news from the RTOFD.
We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
News cycle. The Browns have just traded Kenny Pickett to the Las Vegas Raiders. Sean, what is your live reaction? This just happened.
Not surprised. I don't think they were ever going to keep four quarterbacks on the roster. So Pickett makes the most sense when you look at just the investment. And I think it means obviously that, you know, Dylan Gabriel will likely start the season as their number two, and Shadur will be the number three. And so, you know, this makes sense. The Raiders did need a competent backup behind Geno Smith. Because I'm not sure, AOC and was it, but you know, so it's a smart move for the Browns, and you know, and again, I think at some point we're going to see all three quarterbacks play for the Browns this season. Obviously, start with Flacco week one, but this trade makes perfect sense.
And just for the record, they traded him for a fifth round pick. That's it, a fifth rounder. I've been saying this from the jump when I've seen his quarterback situation. I was like, you keep Sleepy Joe, you keep Old Man Joe, and you keep your two rookies. It didn't make no sense. Once you drafted two quarterbacks, that Shador and Dylan Gabriel, it made no point to keep Kenny Pickett. And right. I get you. You're saying Snoop Hundley because everybody was hurt, and once Snoop got cut, it was cool. And both your rookies have had a bad game and a good game. Well, Shador had a good game, which we're going to talk about Shador. It's crazy that this news broke because we're going to talk about Shador and Shiloh next. Shador had a good game. His second game was kind of a bad game. A lot of people was complaining he get the last two in, but whatever. Shador didn't look as good that second game, especially with holding the ball too long. And the offensive line did play bad, but it also Shador played a part in that. And then Dylan Gabriel, his game he played, he had some nice throws, but then he had those two turnovers that made him look bad. Then the second game he came in and improved. When you got those two rookies and you got a vet like Joe Flacco, I think that'll be perfectly fine. When you did, it didn't make no sense to keep no other vets on the team. And to be real with you, Dylan Gabriel and Shador Sanders has a higher ceiling than Kenny Pickett anyway. And you wanted to bring in Joe Flacco in to be your vet, probably by week 8, probably bring in Dylan Gabriel. And if Dylan Gabriel doesn't play well or get injured, knock on wood, don't want to wish that on nobody, then you bring Shador in and then let Shador play for the regular season. I see them making this quarterback switch with like week 7 or 8, Sean, for sure.
And also the context is AOC has a wrist injury. He's going to miss probably 6 to 8 weeks. So obviously, you know, if you're the Raiders, you want, again, a competent backup who's played some football. Yeah. Obviously, he's only in his fourth year. It seems like Kenny Pickett's been around forever, but he's only in his fourth year and only had, you know, this last year left on his deal. So, you know, it makes sense for the Raiders to make this move.
Okay, we was going to talk about Shiloh first, but since this news is broke with Kenny Pickett, let's go straight into the Shador situation. Obviously, now we know that Shador made the roster. It's kind of a little different looking at this topic. But NFL Hall of Famer Eric Dickerson has allegedly claimed that NFL teams were told not to draft Shador Sanders. And the quote goes as follows. I tell you this much, what I heard from someone that's in the NFL, that the NFL told teams, don't draft him, do not draft him. Dickerson said on Rogge and Rodney's show via Christian Aaron of the New York Post. They also said, we're going to make an example out of him. And this came from a very good source. He doubled down on it and said a very good source. I don't know why my dog got scared. Okay, my kids came out. Okay, but what do you hear? What do you think about this, Sean?
So I think this is incredibly dangerous. And I'm saying that from the perspective of the lightning rod that anytime someone says something about Shador, it becomes. And, you know, I don't think there was any, the NFL offices are not going to call teams and say, hey, don't draft Shador. I don't believe that's how they would do it. I'm saying that part because if a team says, hey, we got this guy on our board, then so be it. Now, there's another side of this, and the other side of this coin, SB, is, I believe, is that if a player has some issues and, say, NFL security has identified some things, if they're investigating a player or, you know, they may share with the team security or team personnel, hey, we identified some red flags with this guy, just FYI, you know. But ultimately, the 32 teams are going to make the decisions they want to make. So I think that's one. You got to be very careful about that. And then I know there was some talk about, you know, Shador being set up to fail and all of these different things. I think we got to be very, very careful about that. I think if you watched Shador in the preseason, you saw some good things. But you also saw some things that he did in college that got him in trouble that will get him in twice as much trouble in the NFL.
Holding the ball too long.
Leaving a clean pocket too early, you know, drifting in the pocket, You know, knowing sometimes you throw the ball away, you know, those different things that, again, it's not to say Shadur is a bad quarterback and that Shadur can't be become a good NFL quarterback. It's to say that Shadur is a project and he's going to need time. And if this preseason proved anything, is that he's going to need time. And that's okay. Now, to further emphasize this, because we talked about this last week with Anthony Richardson, and we'll talk about this with any young quarterback. And I will say this, and I'm going to parrot Louis Riddick here for a moment. Organizations can mess up quarterbacks more than quarterbacks mess up organizations.
100%. 100%.
So where Shadur was drafted is not – when Shadur was drafted, excuse me, is not really the question. The where, meaning the location he's at, is the question. Is this the right place for him to develop? I don't know.
We don't know yet, yeah.
But that's the question.
So I mean, history shows us the Browns ain't a good place to develop a quarterback.
Now, if you just look at the history of the organization since they've been back in 1999, no, it's not a good place for a quarterback to develop. Now, Kevin Stefanski has shown largely he can have success with quarterbacks. He's had great success with quarterbacks. So maybe from a Kevin Stefanski perspective, it is a good place for him. But that's going to take time. And that's really what it comes down to. And I know we're in this instant gratification microwave in 3 minutes or less. We got to have it right now. That's not the case. Sometimes these quarterbacks take time to develop. And they have to be in the right situation. They have to have – I think we're not going to get into it, but I think there are three things that quarterbacks need really to meet their maximum potential. And I'm not going to go too in-depth, but the first thing is they need organizational stability. And I'm saying organizational stability from ownership, front office, head, and coaching staff. They need organizational stability. The second thing they need is time. Time. The third thing they need, in my humble opinion, is they need a coaching staff that's going to try to build it around their skill set and then build it out from there. When the Chiefs got Patrick Mahomes, right? Patrick Mahomes isn't Alex Smith, but there are some things schematically that Alex Smith could run that Patrick Mahomes is going to run. But what was Andy Reid and that coaching staff doing? They were studying Texas Tech film, right? When the Colts got Andrew Luck, what did they do? They basically brought the same scheme. They drafted two tight ends from Stanford to help him.
Help him, yep.
Make the acclimation. So I think those things have to happen. Lamar, we didn't have to get into Lamar. What did the Ravens do? They have built it around Lamar. Conceptually, a lot of what they're running is what Lamar ran at Louisville, even under Todd Monken. So there's got to be some give and take. And I think that's what we don't talk about enough. We just want to say, guys, you know, I don't say anybody in a professional league is trash, but we just want to say a guy is trash or a guy ain't good. Well, no. What are the other factors? The other factors are what we just mentioned. And I think we need to talk more about that, and we need to push for that more and hold the organizations and these coaching staffs and these front offices accountable as much as we talk about holding a player accountable.
You hit it right on the head, because organization, Patrick Mahomes situation is a perfect example. Tyreek Hill, who ended up becoming a star wide receiver at the point of time, he had time to develop to become what he was. But people forget, Tyreek Hill said, I thought Patrick Mahomes was trash when the first couple of practices when he seen him. They literally built the scheme around a quarterback. They gave him time to play. I think Mahomes didn't play to the end of the season because his rookie year was his second year, technically. And that's when he took off. It's people got to understand, it is rare for you to come in off the gate to be great. But we in this microwave era, Sean, where people don't give players time to develop. Like, if Peyton Manning was in this era, he would never have been Peyton Manning, because how he played his first couple of years, they would have wrote him off. by then. The coach stuck with him. He gave him time to develop. He became who he was. Shador or even Dylan Gabriel, you got to give those kids time to develop. And the Browns organization ain't like peaches and cream. They ain't like very good situation, even with Caleb Williams with the Chicago Bears. They're not known for developing quarterbacks. They changed their coaching staff and schemes to try to help their quarterback develop, but they're on the clock when it comes to that too. So you hit everything on the head, but I think the main thing is too, though, is where you at. It depends on where you at and who's on that coaching staff. And sometimes the coaching staff ain't say it's just the culture of the organization that you're at. They just don't know how to develop a quarterback or right. even give a quarterback a fair shot.
Right. And I think and I'm saying this just because SB, we are coming up on the NFL season. I know we're going to do our NFL preview next week, season preview next week. But the thing I'm going to be watching for where you are is the merger of what Ben Johnson what does and what Caleb Williams does well. And can they find that meshing throughout the season? I don't think it's going to happen overnight, but can they find that meshing throughout the season? Because, again, that's going to be the key. It's not Caleb Williams got to run because Caleb Williams isn't Jared Goff. He's not going to run the scheme exactly like Jared Goff. He has a different skill set than Jared Goff. So find the meshing between what Ben Johnson wants to do and what Caleb Williams does well and figure it out throughout the season, because this is going to be a long-term partnership if all goes well.
Yep. You see how it go. But we got the last question of the Shador situation too. Is Shador getting a fair shot? Because a lot of people are saying they set him up for failure. They don't seem like they really want him. Is Shador getting a fair shot?
Yeah, he's on an NFL roster. He's getting practice reps. Like he got to play in the preseason. Like fair, he said it himself. All he can do is take advantage of the opportunities he gets. That's it.
True. I don't think nothing else he can do.
Yeah, that's it.
That's all he can do. I think he. But the problem with Shador, and I'm gonna say this to people. Sometimes y'all are doing more harm than good to Shador, because instead of just giving it time, let the kid develop. Y'all trying to rush him out there. Then if they don't rush him out there, you say the organization got something against him. It's him and his dad. They don't like his dad. Prime ain't got nothing to do with this no more. And if you are an organization using a guy, his father against him, you shouldn't be an organization. You shouldn't run an organization. Shador is getting a fair shot. You got to still remember, guys, even though he should have been in the first round, he was a fifth-ranked pick. He's getting
we can't say he should have been a first-rounder. Because, again,
he's a legend to be a first-rounder.
You had one side. You had the draft prognosticators mocking him in the first round. But the fact is there are 32 or 30-something teams that draft in the first round. Mm-hmm. Clearly, they didn't have a first round grade on him, because if they did, they would have taken him in the first round. And it seems many of them didn't have a second round grade on them.
Something they had no grade on. That's what Eric Dixon said, no grade on them, maybe.
I think we got to get past the point of when the guy was drafted. That's not really the concern at this point. When the guy was drafted doesn't matter. We've seen guys get drafted later in the draft, have great success in the NFL. It's not about the when he was drafted. It's, is he in the right situation?
We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Situation to succeed. Does he have the stability and the consistency in that situation to ultimately grow? That's one part of it. The other part is him continuing to put in the work and him continuing to develop. Because quiet as kept, he's not a fully finished product yet.
No, not yet, no.
But I don't think any guy at 22, 23 is.
No.
So
not ready yet.
You know, so I think that's what we have to be more open to discussing and saying, and that's it, SB. I'm done.
All right. Next up on the Sanders family situation. Shiloh Sanders got into an altercation. people using the altercation as the reason why he got cut. Could be, I don't necessarily think so, but he did get cut right after the situation happened. People don't realize it's after that game, it's cutting week. A lot of people get cut. A lot of people announce cut. But Shiloh Sanders was waived. What was your reaction to that?
No surprise. No shock. Mm. He was an undrafted free agent. He was very low on the depth chart. It was going to be a mass. He was going to have to come in and literally, you know, wow them to the point that they didn't keep him on the 53. Mm-hmm. You know, I think he's, again, guy still has some developing to do, could eventually be a solid player in the NFL, but he may have to go to the CFL. I know the Argonauts have, you know, claimed rights on Shador and Shador. You know, if they become available, potentially could end up on the practice squad, you know, and again, so no surprise there at all. Well, I'm not gonna get into that. I'll leave that.
Yeah, I'm about to say only thing that didn't shock me didn't make because like didn't shock me because he's like you said undrafted.
You knew they had drafted him, and they just said he still could have got cut. You know, we saw Kyle McCord, the quarterback of the Eagles. He was drafted. He got cut today.
Okay. Yep.
You know. So, and you know, I want to say this real quick, and I just you know, I know we don't. Not overly sensitive on this podcast. Mm-hmm. And for those that listen, please know that's not who we are. There's a real life factor here, right? Mm-hmm. Many of these guys are pursuing their dream of playing professional football in the National Football League. They get cut. That changes in many ways the trajectory of what they've worked for and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. So there's a human element here that we don't just want to talk about cavalierly like, oh, they just got cut. Yes, it's a part of the business, but there's a real human element here, and there's a family element here that I think we need to be more cognizant of as we talk about, you know, teams and the decisions that they make regarding many of these young players.
Yeah, and then for me, Shiloh as a player, I think the problem with Shiloh is I wouldn't want to say size because I think his skill set gives me linebacker. He's a hard hitting guy. He's okay if not decent in coverage, but you get your money from Shiloh attacking the quarterback, getting hits, getting tackles. I don't think you're going to get your money from a player like Shiloh in coverage. And I think that's maybe the problem. Maybe if Shiloh about 6'3", I mean, not 6'6", you know, big body linebacker, it'd be a different story. And also, he did stay in college a little longer because I think Shiloh should have left how old is Shiloh? Actually, that's a good question.
I think he's 24, 25.
Shiloh Sanders age. Because I think he could have left like age 25. He could have left like 2 years ago. That people don't realize that too, though. Sometimes age play a factor into you slipping in a draft, unless you're the Saints, no offense, Sean. But yeah, it plays a factor in that sometimes people developing. You know, people want a 21, 22-year-old. You know, technically, once Shiloh Sanders, if he was to be signed, say if he get a 3-year rookie deal, once he finishes 3-year rookie deal, he's 2 years away from being 30. And 30, that age of football where they treat you like you a senior citizen. So it just it comes with it. Sean, we doing another division. I believe after this one, we got one more. Yes. Quarterback season, NFC South. What is the last one we got next?
NFC East is the last one.
NFC East. Oh, God. All right, Sean, let's go ahead and get into it. First up on the list, welcome to Atlanta where the players play. GOAT quarterback season is...
So just to explain this once again, if you're joining us for the first time, we are choosing the GOAT quarterback season in every franchise's history. Mm-hmm. The rules are you had to play at least 4 seasons for that franchise.
Yes, sir.
Right? You can only be used once. So if you got used for another franchise, you cannot be used again. And winning the Super Bowl is great, but it does not mean you had the GOAT quarterback season or that is the GOAT quarterback season for your franchise. So just to explain that. So Atlanta Falcons, few guys in the running for the Atlanta Falcons. We talk about Michael Vick in 2002, 2,936 yards, 16 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, 113 rushing yards, 777 yards rushing for 8 touchdowns. Chris Chandler in 1998, 3,154 yards, 25 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. Chris Miller in 1991, 3,103 yards, 26 touchdowns, 18 interceptions. And Steve Bartkowski in 1980, 3,544 yards passing, 31 touchdowns and 16 interceptions. But GOAT quarterback season, without question, is Matt Ryan, 2016.
Nice.
Matty Ice, MVP season, 69.9% completion percentage, 4,944 yards passing for a 9.3-yard average, 38 touchdowns and 7 interceptions, a 117.1 quarterback rating. Matthew Ryan, Matty Ice, 2016 GOAT quarterback season for the Atlanta Falcons.
Obviously, I was doing a shiver with you because I already had Matt Ryan. I was looking at Vic and PB. I went back to look at Vic again. I was trying to find a way to sneak Mike Vic in there. Can't do it. And I want to say this. Even though Atlanta did choke, whatever, that's cool. It's not 100% Matt Ryan fault. Even though Atlanta did choke, that don't take away from the fact of what I'm finna say. Michael Vick is culturally one of everybody's favorite quarterback. Might have him as – you might think he's the Atlanta greatest quarterback. I'm sorry to tell y'all. Matt Ryan is the greatest Atlanta Falcons quarterback of all time. I don't want to accept it because everybody loves Michael Vick, but it is what it is, unfortunately. And Michael Vick is the cool quarterback, but it's just Matty Ice is the guy. Next up, Carolina Panthers. This one easy.
Carolina Panthers, again, not a long history, only about 30 years history. So only a couple guys in the running for this. Jake Delhomme, 2004, 3,886 yards for 29 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. Steve Berline in 1999, 4,436 yards, passing for 36 touchdowns and 15 interceptions. But that said, there's only one season. GOAT quarterback season, Carolina Panthers.
Superman, is it?
Yeah, Cam J. Newton, 2015. 59.8% completion percentage, 3,837 yards passing for a 7.8-yard average, 35 touchdowns and 10 interceptions for a 99.4 rating, 132 rushes, 636 yards for 10 rushing touchdowns. GOAT quarterback season, Carolina Panthers, Cam J. Newton, 2015.
I don't have to be the dead horse because if we agree, I ain't going to give y'all the same rundown again, but 100% Cam Newton. That's another – Cam is the GOAT quarterback of Carolina Panthers, and it was the cool quarterback, too.
Yeah.
Sean, your New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, I can tell you, three of these teams, it was really easy to pick.
It was easy, yeah.
It was very easy to pick the person. Obviously, the seasons would have varied. This one, though, you know.
I've been thinking the last one is only – it would have been another person, but he got picked already, let's be honest with you.
Well, he didn't play four seasons, though. He didn't play four seasons.
There. He didn't play four with the Bucs? That's crazy.
No. Three, yeah. We'll get to that in a moment. So New Orleans Saints, obviously, who that?
What year we picking? We ain't gotta argue the person. What year we arguing?
I want to just acknowledge some quarterbacks in Saints history. Aaron Brooks in 2003, 3,546 yards passing for 24 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. Bobby Hebert in 1988, 3,156 yards passing. 20 touchdowns to 15 interceptions. Archie Manning, Arch Manning's grandfather, Peyton and Eli's dad, 1980, 3,716 yards passing, 23 touchdowns to 20 interceptions. That said, go quarterback season, New Orleans Saints, is Drew Brees. Which season is 2011? He was second in the MVP voting that year. 71.2% completion percentage, 5,476 yards passing for an 8.3 average, 46 touchdown passes to 14 interceptions for a 110.6 rating. Drew Brees, New Orleans Saints, 2011, GOAT quarterback season.
It's crazy. You pick 11. I went 09. I think 09. You could argue 09 about that too. I mean, he was nice, but he had better quarterback rating. His interception to turnover ratio was decent. I mean, you only got 1% completion rate higher. Record was better, 13-2 over 13-3. Oh, and second MVP vote too. Same thing happened. TD percentage was higher in 09.
I'm going 09, Sean.
No, I mean, it's your call, though.
But it's close, though.
Yeah, but I went with the 5,400 yards passing.
That was,
I mean, he was off the chart. The higher completion percentage, you know, he was
about 1%, about 1%, though.
Well, no, I'm just saying, you know, but he was throwing the ball a lot more, is what I'm saying, than 09.
Yeah, no, he did.
That's what I mean. Like, he was slinging, you know, and, you know, I always tell people, watch the tape. The tape was probably the difference for me. But I just think I think he had to just do more, because remember 09, they had a really good defense, opportunistic defense, forced a lot of turnovers. They didn't have that same defense in 11. You know, it was a lot of that offense doing a lot of carrying, starting with Drew Brees. So that's why I went with 2011.
You know, I paid close attention to Drew Brees because, you know, he's our quarterback.
Well, y'all didn't have to draft, you know, that other guy. But that's neither here nor there.
Oh yeah, he's a forever op to me. Yeah, you know, he just hate our organization. It's cool. This way, you're not on. Well, he gonna make off his namesake. But Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Tom Brady does not qualify because we picked him already, and he did not play for a season. So Tom Brady didn't get picked if he wanted to get picked.
Right. Yeah. So this was probably an interesting one. Of doing the research, this one took some time. But in the running, Jameis Winston, 2016, 4,090 yards passing, 28 touchdowns, 18 interceptions. Brad Johnson in 2002, 3,049 yards passing, 22 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. Trent Dilfer in 1997, 2,555 yards passing, 21 touchdowns to 11 interceptions. Doug Williams in 1981, 3,563 yards passing, 19 touchdowns to 14 interceptions. But I went with Josh Freeman in 2010. Josh Freeman in 2010, 61.4% completion percentage, 3,451 yards passing for a 7.3 average, 25 touchdowns and 6 interceptions for a 95.9 rating. Josh Freeman, 2010, GOAT quarterback season for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
It's still a sad, Sean.
Yeah,
is that Brady? I'm looking at other ones. I was stuck between two. I was gonna find a way to sneak Baker, but I couldn't do that.
No, he didn't play there enough.
They didn't play enough. The sad part about it is Tom Brady. They quarterback play so bad in 3 years. Tom Brady technically is, but I went with your boy. I went with famous Jameis, even though they had a bad year, but for throwing for 5,000 yards, 33 touchdowns, and another 30 interceptions. And the yards per game, 300 plus some yards per game. I ain't never see so much beautiful recklessness on the football field that year, Jameis Winston. So I'm going to give famous Jameis some love. So I'm going to go famous Jameis 2019, but really should be Tom. It's been another great episode of Real Takes Over Fade the Base, SB and Sean Webb. Sean, episode 80. Who you got?
I mean, is there anybody else other than JR?
Oh, it is. I'm gonna avoid JR. I'm gonna find a way to. But yeah, you can. But he the GOAT for sure. You know, you can go Isaac Bruce. I love Isaac Bruce. I might go Isaac Bruce. Got Steve Largett, got Kenny Wins, Kellen Wins. You don't got Kellen Winslow, you know what I'm saying? Okay.
Kellen Winslow Senior, just to be clear.
Senior. The one on the Chargers. Yes. The Chargers. So I'm going to go Isaac Bruce and Kellen Winslow Senior for me.
Yeah, but so Chris Carter as well. I know there's been a lot of conversation about Chris Carter recently, but yeah, Chris Carter.
Wait, what?
Oh, you know, you remember, was it Asante Samuel made the comments about Chris Carter recently?
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Obviously. But yeah, another great episode. Appreciate you guys watching, tuning in. Make sure you guys like, make sure you guys share, make sure you guys subscribe, and we will see you guys on the next one. Peace out.
Real takes over fake debates.
We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you.
Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.